All right, so today we're going to look at some personal management skills. This is some things that will be helpful to you when doing Bible work. It's important to plan and to schedule your time. And let's begin with a word of prayer before we start. So, Father in heaven, we thank you that this morning that we can again meet, and we thank you that you've blessed us during this week, that you've spoken to us, and I thank you for the opportunity to now learn about personal management. We pray that the principles and the ideas that we learn here may be things that will be beneficial for us and that we can put into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So you have just one more assignment left, and that's the book report. Some of you have already returned it. The rest of you, if you could do that this morning, that would be very helpful. Good. Then let's look at some time management principles. Any questions? No? Okay. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. We talked about talents yesterday. Oh yeah, you can use it now if you need it. And if you need the Romanian Bible, Vasi, you can use it so you can follow. Ephesians chapter chapter 5 and verse 16. We talked about talents yesterday, and one of the talents that we have been given, that we all have been given, is the talent of time. And let's see what the Bible has to say. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Could someone read that? Yeah.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
All right. Or you can read the verse before also, just so we get the context.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Right. So what are we to do because the days are evil? Redeem the time. What does that mean? Well.
Use it wisely.
That's right. We need to use our time wisely. It's a talent that God has given us. And we need to use it wisely. So how shall we use it? Christ Object Lessons, page 342, says, our time belongs to God. Every moment is His, and we are under the most solemn obligation to improve to His glory, to improve it to His glory. Of no other talent, of no talent He has given, will He require a more strict account than of our time. This is actually very important, a very important topic. Can read from the other quote on your page. It says, a few moments here and a few there that might be frittered away in aimless talk, the morning hours so often wasted in bed, the time spent in traveling on trams, on railways, cars, on waiting at the station, the moments of waiting for meals, waiting for those who are tardy in keeping an appointment, if a book were kept at hand and these fragments of time were improved in study, reading, or careful thought, what might not be accomplished? A resolute purpose, persistent industry, and careful economy of time will enable men to acquire knowledge and mental discipline which will qualify them for almost any position of influence and usefulness. This is quite amazing. You know, if we're disciplined, it is going to qualify us even for the greatest works. And that's why I bring this up as part of this class. Because time management will help us in our work. Here are some time management principles. I just want to bring out five of them that I found in an article on the online that was very helpful to me. It was from Time Magazine. And I find the principles are also very much in line with what the spiritual prophecy says. First of all, use a to-do list. But not just the to-do list, but use but schedule everything that you do. I actually use, I can recommend this, it's an app on your phone, which is called Wunderlist. Maybe you have it already.
I have another good one too.
Okay, maybe you have some other recommendations. I use this one at least, and maybe it's unfair of me to recommend one when I've only tried one, but just find someone, one that you like. But Wunderlist at least is very, very good to me. You can schedule a task for different days, so you have different days when they come up, and you have a good overview of what of the things that you need to do and when you need to do them. But making a list of just I need to do this and this and this and this and that can also become a very long list, and then you just look at that list and you say, okay, today I need to do all of this, and then you start doing something, and then you start doing something, and you spend all your time doing two of those things, and then nothing. You don't get done what you need to get done. And this is not good either. So, to-do list is only the first step. Then we need to schedule it. So we write down everything we need to do today, and then we schedule it in a calendar. So I hope you have one of these little small calendars. Maybe you use a digital one. That's okay. But it's really important to schedule it. And this is what Eric Barker said in the Time Magazine article. To-do lists by themselves are useless. They're just the first step. You have to assign them time on your schedule. Why? It makes you be realistic about what you can get done. It allows you to do a task when it's efficient. Not just because it's number four. Until it's on your calendar and assigned an hour, it's just a list of wishful thinking. It doesn't need to be perfect. Things will change, but you need to have a plan. Otherwise, you'll waste time. So this is important. We need to schedule it. So my productive days that I have, that's what I do. I take time and I have all the things I need to do. And then I look at my my schedule. Okay, it is, let's say it is 8 o'clock now. I need to get this and this and this done before 11 o'clock when I have a Bible study. And then I'm going to meet this person at that point in time. And I'm going to put in lunch when I need to do that. So I plan everything. And okay, instead of just writing, look at emails, I write, answer this person, or it's very specific. Be very specific in your to-do lists, so that it's not just general work on the sermon. that's very vague. But instead of writing work on sermon or prepare for Bible study, you can write down exactly what you're going to do, like prepare for this particular Bible study, or get the sermon written down, or more specific things that will help you to schedule your life. And then it feels really good when you have a to-do list and you can check things off. Then you're like, wow, this feels really good. So you get rewarded for it. And of course, this is very in harmony with what Ellen White says in Christ's Public Lessons, page 344. Decide how long a time is required for a given task, and then bend every effort toward accomplishing the work in the given time. The exercise of the willpower will make the hands move deftly. So, you see, she says that we should decide how long a task will take, and then we make ourselves do it. So if I need to prepare for a Bible study, I will say, okay, this can take half an hour. and I put half an hour there, and then I know that I have only half an hour. If I'm not done by that half an hour, then I need to stop doing it anyway, because I need to do the other things that I've planned also. So in this way, you help yourself to get disciplined, and you'll get a lot more done. So use a to-do list, but schedule everything. Then another thing that you can do when you schedule things is to plan your day backwards. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you're planning to get done at a certain time, let's say you do 8 hours of work. Now, I understand that sometimes there's some emergencies coming up and we need to overwork at points in time, but as a general rule, we should not overwork, and we'll talk about that later. But still, it's we want to set a time that, okay, at this point of time, I'm going home. Or if you're on outreach, you have a specific amount of time. Or if you are planning your day, if you're at an office or wherever you are. And then you plan your day backwards. So you say that, all right, I'm going to get done with all my work at this point of time. Okay, then we go backwards. So what do I need to get done? Okay, there, I need to get done this. I need to write the email to that person. I need to design this flyer for the cooking demonstration. I need to rehearse my sermon. And then you go through these things. And then you'll get a realistic idea of what you can get done. Eric Barker says this: fix your ideal schedule, then work backwards to make everything fit. Ruthlessly culling obligations, turning people down, becoming hard to reach, and shedding marginally useful tasks along the way. So that's another thing we'll get to. We need to have the right priorities so that we actually do what we're supposed to do. Because there's always little attentions trying to take our attention and trying to get us to do something else. Christ Object Lessons 344. It is the duty of every Christian to acquire habits of order, thoroughness, and dispatch. There is no excuse for slow bungling at work of any character. When one is always at work and the work is never done, it is because mind and heart are not put into the labor. The one who is slow and who works at a disadvantage should realize that these are faults to be corrected. He needs to exercise his mind in planning how to use the time so as to secure the best results. By tact and method, some will accomplish as much in 5 hours as others do in 10. Okay, so we need to be effective. And working, the solution when we have a lot to do is not to work a lot of hours, but it's to try to get the things we need into those hours that we want to have, and then we can have a balanced life. Then we can have a life that is efficient at work, but still we can have time for the rest that our body needs. So that's the planning your day backwards. Make a plan for the entire week. Now God, he likes to think in weeks, doesn't he? And he wants us to think in weeks, too. You think of Exodus 20. Let's read the commandment there. Exodus 20, verse 9 and 10. And someone with a microphone can read it.
Thy servant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate.
All right. So how many days shall we labor? 6 days, and then the seventh day is is the day of rest. So he wants, it doesn't mean that we should only work 6 days in a year, right? He's talking about 6 days in a week. And so God wants us to plan weekly. And this is also from Time Magazine. How do you consistently write books, teach classes, meet with students, do research papers, and be a good parent consistently? The answer is plan the week. So we don't just make a plan for the day, but we make a plan for the entire week. And he says this, every Monday I lay out a plan for the week. I go through my inbox, I go through my task list, I go through my calendar and try to come away with the best thing to do each day this week. So if you have a plan for the whole week, it's much easier to get the things done that you need. If you don't, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. Yeah, I even have it here. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So plan your week and plan it well. Take time on Monday or Sunday or whenever your first day of the week is to plan what you're going to do. Sorry?
Well, what also says to plan your days.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I
especially she says, well, I remember a co-worker, she says that every morning you should make a plan.
They're not online.
Every day you should make a plan for that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think this is even planning not just for the day, but for the week. If it's, I think that will help us in our busy day, busy world. Then the fourth principle is do very few things, but be awesome at them. Okay. So now this doesn't mean we should neglect the little duties. Ellen White talks about the importance of doing these what we consider small things. But she also says, let me read this from Time Magazine first. Maybe you're thinking, I just have too many things to do. But the answer isn't throwing up your arms and working until 10 p.m. You need to do fewer things. Everything is not essential. You say yes to more than you need to. Ask what's creating real value in my life, and then eliminate as much of the rest as you can. In Ministry of Healing, Ellen White says this, we must turn away from 1,000 topics that invite attention. There are matters that consume time and arouse inquiry but end in nothing. The highest interests demand the close attention and energy that are so often given comparatively insignificant things. Now she speaks about topics here, but this is the same. I couldn't find the quote where she talks about time management also. But this is the idea, the same idea, that there are many things that vie for our attention. And it's our duty to turn away from these insignificant things, or things that are not so important, as those things that we are really called to do. And Stephen Covey wrote a book that was called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I don't know if anyone of you has heard of it. Yeah. He also wrote this First Things First. And he uses this Eisenhower's decision matrix in that book to help us understand what is important and what is not important. And it's a helpful diagram. Because you have urgent and not urgent. And then you have important and not important. So let me read this from this diagram that you have here. In quadrant one, we have important, urgent items. Items that need to be dealt with immediately. So if the baby is crying, if the kitchen is on fire, and then there are some phone calls that you really need to leave everything and take. And in quadrant two, we have important but not urgent items. Items that are important to do but do not require your immediate attention and need to be planned for. And this quadrant is highlighted because Covey emphasizes that this is the quadrant that we should focus on for long-term achievement of goals. So we want to live our lives here. This is where we should live our lives. Exercise, vocation, planning, these things that are important, but they're not like extreme, urgent. Now, there are some things that are not important, but that are urgent. For example, if someone, some calls, you get a call right away and the person wants your attention, but it's not really important. Some distractions. You get distracted when you do your work and somebody comes in and other things that happen that are not important. And we should try to avoid these. Well, I can say this. They should be minimized or eliminated. These are the time sucks. The poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part variety of tasks. So if we don't plan well, then we will end up doing lots of these things. But if we plan well, we will be able to do a lot of those things. Quadrant four. These are unimportant and also not urgent items that don't have to be done anytime soon. Perhaps add little to no value and also should be minimized or eliminated. These are often trivial time wasters. You know, like you go look on your Facebook all the time. That's a very big time consumer. And of course, it might be we might use Facebook for a good purpose and reach people and be social with people. That's nothing wrong necessarily. But you know, when we are distracted, and we are supposed to do work, and then we go onto Facebook, and then we get, oh, look there's some a panda, and whoa, look at that, and we start looking at this thing. It's a distraction. It is something that is not part of. It's just trivia. Okay, so playing games on your phone, you know, that's trivia. It doesn't bring anything good. It's just time waster. So these kind of things we should eliminate, and we should try to live our lives here. That's what I found. I used to play lots of video games when I was four sometimes ago. Some years ago.
I have a question. Hmm? What do you want to say with busy work?
Busy work. Well, that's basically a term. I think that's just you do things just to keep busy. Yeah, it's not really any. It doesn't have a meaning. It's like moving information around and I don't know. Just things that really don't bring anything good. Yeah. Mm. Number five is that we need to do less shallow work and focus on the deep stuff. It's basic. It's similar to it, but the number four has to do with the amount of things we do. Number five has to do with the quality of the things that we do. In the Acts of the we read in chapter six how they actually. They realized they had got too many things, and it wasn't that these things were not important. You understand that it wasn't trivial things. They had to solve this church conflict. But instead of them doing it, they delegated it to other people to do. So it's not just that we should do important things. We need to do the things that we have a spiritual gift for. You understand? So if we are called to be Bible workers, we need to focus on that. There might be very important things, like cleaning the church is important, right? If it's not clean, it's not good. But and we might do that occasionally ourselves as well. But I'm just saying that if that's, maybe we need to delegate also responsibilities to other people. Why do we do the things that someone else can do just as good or just as well? So that we have to neglect the things that we are good at. You understand?
I've been called to do.
Or we have are called to do. Why should we do things that someone else can do just as well as us? When that might not be the thing what we are called to do. By cultivating their powers, they may acquire ability to do the very best of service. Then they will find themselves in demand anywhere and everywhere. They will be appreciated for all that they are worth. Eric Barker puts it this way: shallow work is little stuff like email, meetings, moving information around, things that are not really using your talents. He even uses the word talents here. He's a secular author. Deep work pushes your current abilities to the limits. It produces high-value results and improves your skills. So that's what we should focus on. If we don't get time for that, we can be busy all the time. But we need to focus on what's really important and what we really are called to do. So, these are the principles. And I think that